Well, I'm glad I'm teaching on Ice Cream Sunday. That should put everyone in a good mood. We're continuing our study in J.I. Packer's book. This week we're studying the word scripture, a word that's closely related to the word that we began with that Jeff taught us so ably last week, which was revelation. So today's scripture from J.I. Packer, let me begin with prayer for us. Father in heaven, we know that you have told us that you have elevated your word above your name. It is a great gift to us. It is a gift that we should relish. It is a gift that we should delight in. Would you help us to do that? Would you help us to see the importance of this word? Will you help us to see that it is both illumination for the path in life that we should follow? It is instruction and knowledge that we need to live that life successfully. Help us to see that. Would you demonstrate both of those points to us, light and knowledge, this morning as we consider this word, scripture. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to begin at the end. Packer ends his article talking about our need for scripture. Well, I think that's appropriate to begin with as well, so that we will see as we consider this word this morning exactly why it is important. There are two verses that I would call to your attention, both of them from Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It is illumination for us. It lights our path. The scripture often uses that term path to talk about the way in which we live, the entire course of our life, and the way we live it. Scripture is light to that path. It shows us where we ought to go. It shows us also where we should not go. So scripture is important as illumination to us. It is also important because the unfolding of your words gives light, also illumination for our path. But it also imparts understanding to the simple. So it gives to us that which we need to know to be able to serve God effectively, to serve him well, and in a way that will glorify him. So I want to point out that the word scripture that we'll study this morning is important, first of all, for mothers. If you're a mother, you love your children. And I know you do. I personally have never met a mother who doesn't love her children. If you love your children will see you reading the scripture. They will hear you pray the scripture for them. And you will make sure that they know the scriptures. It's important for fathers also. If you're a father, then you love your family, and you want to see your family grow and be successful as a family, and as your children grow, to see them be successful as adults. They need to see you reading the scripture. They need to hear you read the scripture. They need to hear you pray the scripture for them, and you need to make sure they know the scripture. It's important for young people. Young people, you are about to embark on a great journey, a path through life. And you can go in a way that will guarantee your success in life, your success spiritually, if you use the scriptures as a light to your path. You can choose to go another way that leads to shipwreck, and you don't want to do that. So it's important for young people to know where they are going in life. It's important for older people. Now notice that I said older people, not old people. We don't have old people in Second. We have older people. And for those of us who are getting on up in years, then we need the scripture. We need to have just as much light for our path as younger people do. We need to have just as much understanding of spiritual matters as anyone else does. But we also need the comfort and consolation of the scripture, as we know that these are the final years that we will live on earth. And we need to be prepared for the next life. So it's important for older people. It's important for all people because it is light and it is understanding. So let's take a look at what Packer gives us in his book. He uses six different categories of Scripture. First of all, he begins with the Bible. The word Bible simply means book. And he points out also that the word Scripture just means writing. So when we talk about the Bible, we usually categorize it, describe it as being the Holy Bible. It is the Holy Scripture. There's something different about this book. There's something different about the Scripture than just any writing. This book is made up of 66 books. It's actually a volume. And yet we insist that it is really one book. There is unity to the Bible. These 66 books were written over a period of over 1,500 years. They contain many different types of literature. History, for example. Poetry. Legal documents, letters, all sorts of different genres of literature are contained in those 66 books. So how then is the Bible one book? We'll see in a moment. Packer also talks about biblical authority. And what kind of authority is that? Is that the same authority that an expert, someone who's gone to school and maybe gotten a PhD in some subject matter, is it that kind of authority? Is it the authority of being a primary source for a historian? Historians put great value and give great authority to primary sources. Or is it some other kind of authority that is greater than either one of those two things? And I think we'll see in a moment that it is. Packer goes on to talk about revelation and Scripture. What part does Scripture play in God's self-revelation? His revelation of what he wants us to know about himself, about his eternal power and Godhead. Scripture is reliable, we say. Well, how reliable is it, and why do we consider it to be a reliable book? And then he talks about the corollaries of inspiration. That is, if all of these things are true, if the Bible is unified in one book, if it has a superior kind of authority, if it is indeed the revelation of God's self to us, if it is absolutely reliable, then what does that mean? What follows? What are the corollaries of inspiration? And then finally, what we began with this morning, our need for Scripture. Just exactly how important is Scripture? He ends his article with the question, is your soul in danger? So my approach this morning, since we simply don't have the time to go through all of that article, is to pull out three verses and look at those three verses and then relate them to this outline that Packer gives to us, the Bible, biblical authority, revelation, reliability, the corollaries, and our need for Scripture. So here's the very first of those three important verses. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture, Paul says, and this is Paul's view of Scripture, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So the first thing here is the word all. What does Paul mean when he says all Scripture? Now remember, when Paul was writing in the first century, the New Testament had not come fully into being yet. It wasn't completed until very near the end of the first century. So what is Paul talking about when he says all Scripture? I think it's more than the Old Testament, and we'll see why. As the first century went on, the apostles themselves became aware that what they were writing was indeed Scripture, and it was on par with the Old Testament. There are two verses that we can look at that show us that. Paul places Luke's writing on par with the Old Testament scriptures, and then Peter places Paul's writings, his letters, on par with the Old Testament scriptures. Look at the first one, 1 Timothy 5:18. Paul tells us two quotes. The scripture says, he begins, and then he quotes Deuteronomy. This is Moses writing, "You shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain." Undeniably scripture. But he gives us another quote, and that quote says, "The laborer deserves his wages." That is a direct quote from Luke. So Paul, you see what he's doing? He takes Luke's writing and he elevates it to the same position as authority as Moses' writing in Deuteronomy. So Paul recognized that what was happening in the first century, as the apostles and those who were very close to them inscripturated the things that they had learned and the things that they had seen and the experience that they had had and the very teaching that Christ himself had given to them, this is the fulfillment of what Christ promised to them, that he would send a helper. And that helper would guide them into all truth. That helper would cause them to remember the things that they had learned. And we see that he did that. And the New Testament is in the process in the first century of coming into being. I might point out at this place, many of you in this room know Dr. Panosian, a great man. Many of you had classes from him. You took church history from Dr. Panosian. And I can still hear him saying many, many times with that wonderful voice of his, "The scripture was scripture when it was written, not when some church council put their stamp of approval upon it." So scripture came into being as it was being written. And here we have an instance of that when Paul considers Luke's writing to be on par with the Old Testament scriptures. Peter then talks about a time when those who are, he calls them, ignorant and unstable people, twist the scriptures. They twist them for their own purposes, but ultimately they twist them to their own destruction. And he talks about that in particular in regard to Paul's writings, Paul's letters. He says, as Paul does in all his letters, when he speaks of these matters, there are some things in them that are hard to understand. And that gives occasion for the twisting. Ignorant and unstable people, unbelievers. But notice that last phrase. They do that to Paul's letters, which are on a par with the other scriptures. The other scriptures are the Old Testament scriptures. And so look again at what he's doing. He's taking the letters of Paul and he's elevating them to scripture. He's putting them equal to the Old Testament scriptures. So two very important reasons why the word "all" means all. So what we have today in our 66 books, in our scripture, the Bible, is all scripture. And then Paul goes on to tell us here that that scripture is breathed out by God. That's one word in the Greek, and that word means literally God breathed. Now, when we hear anything that mentions the breath of God, what should we think about? Genesis account of creation, right? So I think what Paul is telling us here is that scripture is a creative act of God. It does not come from men, although there were human authors. It does not come from those men. It comes from the very mind of God. God has breathed out scripture. It is the scripture which is inspired, not the men, the human authors of scripture. It is God himself. And then because God is the author of scripture ultimately, then it's profitable for us. And he says it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. He goes on to say then that the man of God can be complete and prepared for every good work. So we see here then in this first important verse, unity of Scripture. That's one reason why we can say that all Scripture, New Testament and Old Testament, is one book. It speaks also of the authority. God is the author. It speaks to reliability for the same reason. God is the one who has inspired these words and these writings. And then it also gives us our need for Scripture. It is profitable for us. So, very important Scripture, very important verse that Paul tells us what he considers Scripture to be. Well, the second important verse is from Peter. This is Peter's view of Scripture. 2 Peter 1:19 says, "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place." So, as we have seen before, Scripture is light. It is illumination to our path in life. And Peter here describes it as being like a lamp shining in a dark place. You know, I can remember many times that I have been in a motel room and I go to bed and turn off the light next to the bed, and then I have to get up during the night and it is absolutely pitch black. And so I have the choice of either turning the light on and waking up Helen, or I can stumble through the dark to the bathroom. If I stumble through the dark, I usually find a chair. It's usually pretty close to the bed in a motel room. And you would think I would learn my lesson not to do that, but every time I do it. So I know what it's like in this life in a rather insubstantial way to be in a dark place and not have a light. And we've all had that experience. Scripture is like a lamp shining in that dark place. It does so until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. In other words, Scripture does not come from the mind of the prophets who wrote it. And he goes on to tell us it comes from the mind of God. He is the ultimate author of Scripture. In verse 21, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is another exceedingly important thing for us to know about Scripture. Those human authors were enabled by the Holy Spirit. They were not placed into a trance. They did not become automatons and the Holy Spirit took over and dictated the words or guided them directly in the writing of those words. They wrote out of their experiences. They wrote out of their vocabulary. But the Holy Spirit carried them along in the process so that they remembered the things as Christ promised that they would remember, and they were able to write them without error. That word carried along could be translated borne along. I think the King James here says they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Luke uses this word to describe the winds and a sail of a sailboat as it drives that boat through the water. So the Holy Spirit carried them along and enabled them to write inerrant Scripture. So what we see here are three things in this verse: illumination, revelation, and inspiration. And then that all speaks to our need of Scripture. In the very first part of that verse, how do we get the most out of Scripture? We pay attention to it. We heed the Scripture. And so that meets our need to have illumination and knowledge. Very important Scripture for us. Here's our third Scripture verse. This is what Christ thinks about the Scripture. Now, how important is that to find out what our Lord tells us about the Scripture? And in Luke 24, this is at the point where he is appearing to his disciples. And he shows to them his hands and his feet that, yes, indeed, he is the crucified one. And he did die for our sins, and he was buried, dead and buried, and he is now risen, and he stands before them in a glorified body. And he tells them, don't you know this is what I was telling you when I was still with you way back in Galilee? I was telling you that. This is everything that was written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. In other words, Christ is in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament testifies of him. It is an element, a very strong element of revelation as Christ is revealed in the Old Testament. So everything that was written about him in the Old Testament, he says, must be fulfilled. Exceedingly important word, must. In the Greek, it's just three letters long. It's a very short word, but very powerful word. It must be fulfilled. That word can also be translated, it is necessary. Christ used that word frequently on the trip down to Jerusalem to that last Passover and the crucifixion that followed. And he told his disciples repeatedly, it is necessary that we go to Jerusalem. It is necessary that when we get there, the Son of Man will be crucified. And it is necessary that he be raised from the dead on the third day. These things are necessary, he says. They must be fulfilled. As he says elsewhere, the scripture cannot be broken. God has spoken. He has purposed, and who can thwart him? He has stretched out his arm, and who can turn it back? The scripture cannot be broken. Therefore, it is reliable, and it is necessary that it be fulfilled. We can depend upon it when we read the words of it. Well, then, let's circle back again to the beginning. Why, then, is scripture important? Again, our two verses that we began with from Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Path, again, you'll remember, is our course in life, the way we lead our life, the way we live it. We need light for that. We need to know which is the right direction to go in. And Scripture gives us that light, and we need to know which is the way not to go. And Scripture reveals that to us as well. The unfolding of your words, the study of them, the understanding of them gives light also. And in fact, it also imparts understanding to us, understanding to the simple. So when we don't understand what Scripture says, what do? We ask God to help us to understand. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And having been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, the idea of what Peter thinks about Scripture, of what Paul thinks about Scripture, even what Christ tells us about Scripture, their view of it pales in comparison to the fact that we have been given the Spirit of God. And we can understand things when we allow him to illuminate for us and give us that understanding. The natural man does not understand the things of God. They are spiritually discerned, and we have the mind of Christ. So we read his words when he tells us about the importance of Scripture, but we have his Holy Spirit within us, the very mind of Christ, and he confirms to us when we read Scripture. Have you experienced that? When you read Scripture, well, let me go back. I remember before I was converted, it was a closed book to me. It meant nothing. I kept thinking, well, how silly are these people who read it? It doesn't mean anything. I get nothing out of it when I read it. And then I was converted, and it was like a light in a dark place. I could understand it, and I began studying it and reading it, and it was a wonderful book. And it was a delight to read it. We have the mind of Christ in us to confirm to us that Scripture is the Word of God. When we read Scripture, we are reading the words of God to us. Now, Packer here ends with a quote, a rather long quote, from J.C. Ryle. Ryle wrote a tract over 100 years ago, and he said, "Remember your enemies and be armed. Be armed." Let me read a few sentences from that quotation. I won't read it all. It's very long. But Ryle says, "You live in a world where your soul is in constant danger. Enemies are round about you on every side. Your own heart is deceitful. Bad examples are numerous. Satan is always laboring to lead you astray. To be safe, you must be well armed. You must provide yourself with weapons which God has given you for your help. Arm yourself with a thorough knowledge of the written word of God. Read your Bible regularly. Become familiar with your Bible. There are many today who believe the Bible, yet read it very little. Does your conscience tell you that you are one of those persons? If so, then you are a person that is likely to get little help from the Bible in time of need. If so, you are a person who is unlikely to become established in the truth. If so, you are a person who is likely to make mistakes in life. If so, you are a person who is likely to be carried away by some false teacher for a time. Do not merely read your Bible a little, but read it a great deal. Remember your many enemies and be armed." Be armed indeed. Scripture is one of those 18 important words, the most important words that we will ever know. Be armed. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this study this morning. We thank you that you do indeed elevate your word above your name. Father, I pray that it might indeed be a delight to us, and we might contemplate exactly how important the Scripture is to our Christian life and to our path in life. I pray that we might use it as that light that will guide us in the right way and illuminate the wrong way so that we do not take it. May we treat the Bible as your very words to us. May we not neglect it, but may we read it. May we profit from it. May we serve you more fully because we have done so. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.